We're going to be reading out of the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. As I got everything together this morning, and as I prepared to kind of head over to the church, I closed the front door, locked it, headed down to my car. Took my car keys, and in my car, if you stick the key in and turn it twice, then all the doors will unlock. So I flipped it twice to open up the back door, and nothing. So again, I stuck my key in the front door, turned it twice, nothing. I was like, oh, man. So I opened up the front door, sat in, reached around, put my key in the ignition, turned it, and y'all know what happens. Nothing. Dead. Completely dead. Not even the kind of hopeful talking about nothing. So I was like, man. All right. So I get up all my stuff and I head back into the house, switch out my keys, yell to Julia that I'm taking her car, throw everything in the van, and I come over and I head to work. Pull up in the parking lot across the street. Again, I get my arms full, I get my briefcase, my computer, I get my Bible, I get my bottle of water, and I head into the church, up the stairs, and I get to my office, and I go to put my key in the door, and I switched it out with the other set of keys when I switched cars this morning. I was like, man. I was like, God, if you do not want me to preach this morning, we can make that happen. Just let me know if this is going to go on this morning. But alas, Pastor Gary was in his office, so I go down the hall. He comes out, and I said, "Do you happen to have a key to my office?" And he said, "I don't have a key to your office." He said, "But," he said, "let me go ahead and try. I've got an extra set of keys that's been sitting in my desk, see if one of those work." Go through all the keys, nothing works. But he has a key for the office downstairs that has all the keys. So I go downstairs, and I open up the church office, and I go to the lockbox, and I unlock it, and I go, and I look, and it says, "Executive Pastor's Office, Key 72. So, man, I start flipping the panels. I go down to grab Key 72. It is the only empty peg in the box, which kind of good to know that nobody in the church has a key to my office. But I was like, well, I guess this is just not happening today. This is just not see fit. I get all my stuff. I was going to come home, head over here and be like, "Jameson, you got it this morning, man. God's obviously given you a word because he has told me not to do it." And I'm halfway down the greenway, and Pastor Gary shouts out from the top window, "Hey, Arthur, I jimmied your lock. It's open now." So I look up to heaven, and I said, "Close." It was a close one this morning. And through the rest of this morning, there's been a number of different things that have gone wrong, whether it was the internet was out, or whether a microphone was out, or whether the sound was out, any number of different things that has popped up. And it has just not kind of been one of those days that we ever really felt like we're kind of getting our traction under us, kind of getting our feet under us. And man, it started out as a bad day, but God still intended it to be a day that we walk through. Now, this is just kind of a funny start to a morning, but some of y'all may have felt like you have had days this week, this month, or this past year, it just felt like everything was kind of going wrong. It just felt like every plan that we had and everything that we tried just seemed to unravel or even to make things worse. And some of us have gone even past the bad day, and we have had bad months or bad years. And even on this Christ the King Sunday, this last Sunday of the year, if we were to look back over the entire year, some of us in here would feel like this year we've ended up so much worse than where we were even a year ago. And we wonder how in the world this God that we're going to follow, this God that seems to have a plan, seems to have forgotten all about us or hasn't really been doing much of anything at all. And it's in that tension that we walk into our gospel story this morning. And we come in at a very tense moment that as Jesus has been betrayed, as he's been denied, as he's been arrested, and as he's been dragged through the street to talk to chief priests, and now to talk to the governor, Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate walks into the room and says, "Are you king of the Jews?" And Jesus asks him, "Are you asking, or are you just telling me what other people have told you?" Because, you know, at this point, Pilate probably doesn't care at all who Jesus has been, only what the people have told him about Jesus. That he's a renegade, that he's a rogue, that he's a disturber of the peace, that he's dangerous. And he even turns to Jesus and he says, "Even your own nation has turned you over. Your own people have turned you over. Your priests have turned you over." And you must imagine that for Pilate, what a pathetic image Jesus must have cast before him. Here's one calls himself King of the Jews, but he doesn't have a people. He doesn't have any followers. He's been betrayed by his own. And whether he's been dragged through the streets, exhausted and beaten or tired, this doesn't seem much like a king at all. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. That if it were, my followers would fight you in this world, but as it is, it's not." And even that, you might imagine, might kind of strike Pilate in a sad way of saying, this guy is the king of a kingdom that you can't even see. No results. No victories, no armies, no followers. What kind of king is this? And as he asks him again, "So you're a king?" Jesus says, "So you've said that I am. But I have come for this one reason, to testify to the truth. And my followers, they listen to my voice." And that's really the hard thing that we find on this Christ the King Sunday, as we find not only on this Sunday, but other Sundays and other days and other hours that we have lived through this last year. This tension that we fall into, that Pilate might have felt at this time, and that we know that we've experienced through this past year, of looking at a moment that is so difficult, that is so broken, that is so despised, and wondering how God is still the king of it. Because some of us have gone through so much difficulty over this last year, problems with our families, problems with our friends, broken relationships, family members and friends that we have lost and passed on. And we wondered, why has God not done anything? Does he hear us at all? Is he even up there? Does he have a plan for any of this? And we start to follow into that same kind of mold that Pilate has cast for us. Because if we're looking for Jesus to be that conquering king, if we're looking for Jesus to be that one who sweeps in and conquers all of our problems and conquers the world, and like Jesus said, kind of comes into Pilate's palace and kind of tears it to the ground and reestablishes something even better, and we're going to find ourselves so confused and so frustrated and so disappointed, waiting for a king that we expect to do exactly what we want. But when Jesus says his kingdom's not of this world, his victories are not of this world as well. And they are not so easy to see. Because the bad news is that God's kingdom finds us at our most broken and our weakest and our hardest places. And it asks us in those moments to be at our best. That when there is so much to doubt, when there is so much to run away from, when there is so much to hide, that it is asking us in those moments to still listen for his voice. Because the truth of the matter is, like Pilate, there's so many other voices telling us what our victories and our successes and our failures should look like. There's so many other voices. Maybe they're coming from friends. Maybe they're coming from family members. Maybe they're coming from headlines and status updates that are telling us that there's so little hope for the circumstances in our lives, that there are so few things to find joy in. And they are trying to define our success and our failure for us. That no matter what circumstances, so we're going through a hard time, then man, that's something that we have done ourselves, and even to the point wondering if God is doing anything for us. And those voices begin to try to define our King and our God for us. And they show us and remind us of all the many ways that he has not shown up, of all the many prayers that he has not answered. And they try to have us picture a king that has let us down. But the reality is when Jesus comes in his kingdom, for those who listen to his voice, the good news is that voice always answers and says, come and follow me. And as we follow Jesus into this world, we find indeed a kingdom that is unlike anything else in this life. Because we find that when we follow Jesus, our lives don't always get better, but they get deeper and they get wider. We find out that things that we thought had power over us no longer extend anymore. That the love of Jesus, that the love of the story of salvation comes to us in such a way that we have a kingdom that endures forever. And it's not just a kingdom that makes our lives better, but this is a king who rewrites the entire fabric of creation. And he makes all things new again. This is more than just a king of our bad Sunday mornings. More than just a king over our bad month or our bad year. This is a king who walks with us through all of those circumstances and promised to help us make them all new again. And he invites us into that work. Because the good news is, he said, his followers are the ones who listen for his voice. And so we do listen amongst all the noise and all the distractions and all the other statements and suggestions and answers that others give us, that Jesus is still calling us and speaking to us in a life and a kingdom that is unlike any other. We find ourselves very similar to Pontius Pilate there, sometimes more than we would want to be. Because Pontius Pilate is how we would feel if we didn't listen to Jesus' voice. And we would feel that all of this was a waste of time and a waste of energy, and not really realizing what's the point of it all, and it's something that would entice us to just wash our hands clean and say, I'm done with this. But the reality is God's voice rings deeper than all those others. And calling us into a life where even in those dark and difficult moments where we ask, are you still king? Jesus will do that thing that he did to Pontius Pilate as well, and he will turn it around and ask, are you still listening? This is a king unlike any other who has not come to dominate or to conquer, but has come to transform. And it's a kingdom in which we choose to follow and that we choose to walk into and experience something that is deeper than victories, but ends in the entire recreation of all things. For us to spend a life of eternity with the one who gave us the source of hope, of joy, of peace, and of love. As the band starts to come forward, we have an opportunity today to ask, how have we allowed God to be king of our lives over this last year? As a church, we wonder, have we allowed God's vision to be king over the direction of this church moving? And we think of how we can recommit ourselves and how we can recovenant with God for this year to come. Because next Sunday is a new Advent. It's a new beginning. And it's a new anticipation of how God is going to arrive to us and speak to us. And it's going to come just like it did thousands of years ago in a way that we never expect. And we're going to look to our traditions, and we're going to look to our rituals, and we're going to find that God shows up even now in a way that we never expected. And it's going to come in the difficult spaces, and it's going to come in the hard spaces where we wonder if he's there at all, that we find out that he's already begun to change this world and has asked us to come and to continue to follow him. I want to pray this morning as we close out our worship service and have you for us an opportunity through this last song to reflect, to remember, and to pray as we praise God and move into this next year. Almighty and precious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the way that you have poured out your life for us over this last year, Lord, and we ask for forgiveness of the ways that we have responded. Lord, for the things that we have said and for the things that have gone unsaid. Lord, for the stances that we've taken, and Lord, the stances that we have not taken. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask that you prepare us to use us to be signs of life and hope in this world, and that even in our darkest and most difficult moments, Lord, that you will give us signs that you are with us and are still a king over our circumstances, our situation, our world, and all of creation, and invite us to come and to follow you through the difficult, through the dark, but Lord, most of all, into life. As we pray all these things, in Jesus' name, amen.